They are almost there. Warrington know it. Lee know it. Who care on the 7th of June? Know that their opponents in the Wembley showpiece will be the Warrington Wolves.
Hello, I'm Rob London. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, as the Edvard Munch exhibition opens at the National Portrait Gallery, where are my two screaming podcasters? Firstly, armed with a kaleidoscope of factual tones on his palette. Yes, here to smear a statistical inner emotional experience across his canvas. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And of course, the scream has been stolen not once, but twice. And therefore, to keep our podcasting priceless treasure safe and secure, moving forward, he will be kept behind bulletproof glass. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
How are we, gentlemen? Are we all good?
Yeah. I've just, I want to get into the artifacts straight away. Artifacts.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Scream was sold for 119.9 million in 2012. Imagine that as a budget for a Super League team. But do you know what the most expensive painting was? It was a Leonardo da Vinci picture of Jesus holding a crystal ball. I think Jesus needs a crystal ball.
No.
As a budget for buying that painting, let's go higher or lower. Rob, want to guess how many million?
I'll go 300 million.
Sam, higher or lower?
Higher, 450.
Oh, it's 450.3 million.
Oh, he knows his art, Sam.
He knows his art.
Bang
on.
We were actually looking at Mrs. London last night because she was hung. Is that the appropriate word? She was hung in the National Portrait Gallery in 2006.
Really?
One of these. Yeah. She was walking down the road in Sydney, and this chap came up to him, dirty pervert. It wasn't Eddie Fuller, but said he would like to, photograph her. So he did, and he won the award for the best portrait in the National Portrait Gallery in 2006. So she's hung in there. If you go into the National Portrait Gallery, on the left as you go in, she's on the wall, naked. There she is. Mm. I was showing Master London last night. He said, "That's not mummy." I said, "It is." She's got a black eye. Mm. Black eye.
Oh. Right.
It's like they've stripped all her makeup off and then they've blackened her eye. I don't know what it means exactly.
Was the bloke well hung who took the picture?
Well, before we press on, I'll just quickly say about the old man. So he passed away last week. I just want to thank everyone who sent lovely messages. I didn't know there were so many kind-hearted people out there who listened to the podcast. And to summarize it, there was one wealthy gentleman who wrote to me from Lim and said that you could tell from my dad's sound bites he was a fanatical Warrington fan, which he was. So I think that summed it up perfectly. What a lot of people don't know was his other obsession was the band Oasis. So if we could just try and the family could just try and commemorate that somehow. But anyway, I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's bringing a lump in my throat, boys. So I'll just clear my throat and then we'll move on. Two tickets.
Very good. Yeah.
Right, on to the Lee and the Challenge Cup semi-final. The team was Dufty, Josh Thewlis, Ty King Ashton, Ratchford Sneed, Yates Pal Vaughan, Holroyd Fitzgibbon and Curry in the back three. Interchange bench was Philbin, Crowther, Lindop and Harrison. Here's the highlights.
Steph Ratchford, an experienced player, has been charged down. And Pape chasing after next. Lee might get a bright start here for the very first play. Edwin and Pape.
I don't want to talk about things we've gone through.
Trying to set a platform. Offloads to Dufty. Now to Curry. Now with a second phase from Warrington. Ratchford, bounce pass, finds Thewlis. He's got a corridor to work in. Josh Thewlis went for the offload. And there's a finish from Roderick Ty.
More to say. no more race to play. The winner takes it all.
Powell onto Vaughan. Vaughan close to the line and over. Beglin behind the sticks. Paul Vaughan crashes over for his first try of the season. Back O'Brien, oh, it slipped through. He's got support. Tessie Newell with him. Tessie Newell with the run to the line. Being chased down, but they won't catch him.
But I was a fool, laying by the rules. The gods may throw in the...
Crowder back to Sneed. Warrington do have numbers on this left side. Dufty goes wide this time to King. Plenty to do. Toby King. O'Brien floats one for Tessie New. They've got the overlap. New won't need them.
But tell me, does she kiss like I used to kiss you? Does it feel the same?
Final score, Warrington 21, Lee 14. There were tries for Ty, Vaughan and King. Goals, Sneed kicked 4 from 4. And a drop goal to boot. Referee was Liam Pisspoor. Attendance 11,722. Now we've done a timeline. Sam sent through a very kindly did a timeline. So we've got a timeline tonight, yes. Boys. Before the game, we were sort of confident. Sam, you thought maybe we'd get over the line on this one.
I was, strangely enough. I don't know where this strange positivity suddenly came from. But the night before, I just felt, oh, we'll win tomorrow, got up next morning. It just was a complete repeat of 12 months prior when we were against Huddersfield, just walked to the stadium in the sunshine, felt confident.
You went, did you? Just, you were there?
Yeah. Felt we were definitely going to win. Sat next to a gentleman, just say hello to Russell. Russell listens to the podcast.
Dan Russell.
Not Dan Russell, although I think he's spent a lot of time in the stands this year as well, hasn't he?
Oh, yes.
What's their stadium like? How does it compare to the Halliwell Jones? Does it just feel the same? If you took all the hoarding down and the colours, do you just feel like you're in one of those prefabricated, you know, stadiums like the rest of them?
Yeah, as you walk up to it, I mean, first of all, it is a little bigger than the Halliwell Jones, and it's another joint venture with Tesco.
Yeah.
So there's a big Tesco there. However, there's a little bit more room outside.
There's a little as well.
Yes, a little bit more room outside. Big green area, but as always these days, it seems like the green area was just used for a place to sit down with your cans of beer that you've bought from Tesco and then just leave them all over the place.
Is that what you did, Sam? You were drinking beer.
Why did you do that? Why did you leave your beer cans on the grass?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was driving. In fact, this podcast is giving me a bad name because...
Is it?
Our listener, Russell, who was sat next to me, questioned why I wasn't drinking.
Oh.
Yeah. At which point you told him you left your wine bottles on the grass outside.
What's the sustenance like there compared to the Halliwell Jones?
It's shit.
Oh, is
Don't
it?
Forget, I've been there.
Oh,
it's
yes,
on tackle
right.
bags. You go back a couple of years.
Oh,
it's
Jesus.
Absolutely shite. And as far as that head steward goes, he's a fucking knobhead. Fucking trying to tell me, put my fucking long lens away. What a wanker.
Oh, it's good to be back, isn't it? It's good.
I don't think I'll be going back there.
You pressed a button there.
Jesus. Okay.
Anyway, I was feeling really confident. And then after 1 minute, I was no longer feeling quite so confident.
Yes. Well, I went back and looked at it. So as the ball touches the line, not when the video ref gave it, which was after about 8 minutes, but as the ball touches the line, it was 49 seconds. A low Sneed punt is charged down by Mbappe and a good bounce sees him race away to score. From out wide, O'Brien misses the conversion and it's 4-0 to Lee. And then in the sixth minute, Lamb floats a lofty kick to the corner. Lee's winger, McIntosh, catches, but Ashton gets underneath the ball to prevent a try. And we've put in brackets, probably did his knee. Was that when he did it?
Yes.
Right.
Well, there's a replay that shows that he fell, the weight of the player went on him, and his knee buckles.
Ugh. Was that an image of a blurred knee buckling, by any chance?
A very blurred knee. Oh, don't get me going on, bloody.
Oh, jeepers.
Anyway, go on.
12th minute, Ty scores following a desperate inside pass from Thulis that goes Wise way after bouncing off Josh Charnley, and Sneed converts and was 6-4 up. Now, at this point, I woke up because I had the time wrong. I thought it was a 4:30 p.m. kickoff in the UK, so I've set the alarm for sort of 1:28 a.m. And then I turn it on and I'm like, oh, okay, so we're already behind. So that did me. So I didn't see any of this shambolic first 10 minutes. So after that first 10 minutes, had you changed your opinion, Sam? Did you think, oh, I've got this wrong, it's going to be a thrashing?
No, I didn't feel it was going to be a thrashing, but it is fair to say that the first 10 minutes they threw a lot at us. And actually, you know, the charge down wasn't really a defensive error, but defensively we looked solid and fully committed.
Now, talking to the old man, because he was still alive and breathing on whatever day it was, the Monday. So he FaceTimed me and he thinks, as good as Sneed's kicking is, he does kick quite low. He gets a good distance, but maybe just because he had two charge down, right? It wasn't just that one. There was another one in the game where he had. So
correct.
He does take his time getting it off downfield. Beautiful kicks, but occasionally.
Worth mentioning something, though. There was a lot in the build-up about, you know, targeting Sneed because he's got his fractured face.
Yes.
And he might be obviously tentative and aware of it. And I think that might have fed into why he was, like, you know, kicking.
He had a bit of a bloodshot eye, didn't he?
Did
you see that? Let's not go too deep into this, but I once dated a young lady who lived in Croft, and as I dropped her off, I'll leave that in. I'll take that out.
Yeah, take that out. The other thing as well, from the timeline that you just described, you set your alarm for 28 minutes past.
Yes,
the
game, just 2 minutes
at this
of
point, was only 12 minutes. So
yes,
I think you might have picked up on the video referee on this.
I was very confused. Yeah, I was very... When I woke up, it just Ty seemed to be on the screen and it was clear they were looking at a try. So I did see the Sneed conversion, but I think I missed all of that. I think I must have just caught it at the end of the...
It was probably when he just asked for the furthest away angle to make the decision, which really
didn't
wound me up.
Yeah. Wasn't there some game, I don't know which one it was, but the best angle was the drone, and the drone had the best clarity on its camera.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with the cameras?
I don't know.
Are they like winding them at the side, like, you know, like when Laurel and Hardy were on? What's going on?
It's obviously a problem. And the other fact is, I mean, we'll get into this, but across all the games of late, everything's been put up to the video ref now.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a fair percentage. It must be like 80% or something like that. But, you know, if you're going to use the technology, get a decent camera. I've said this before, my action camera is better than
that. I know, you sent a picture of you doing your flailing rods or whatever they're called, didn't you? And they were all good. Sam, you watch a lot of the cricket. They don't have this problem in the cricket, do they? Like, they got the snickometer.
No. I think cricket is not the right thing to compare to, simply because it's a fixed camera and you're always looking directly at the stumps.
Yeah.
But it's the blurred, fuzzy. They go frame by frame, and all you're seeing is a blurred hand and a blurred ball. And
we went to, do you remember the cricket team at Lynn? We went to the 1982 World Cup semi-final at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Did we
play? Both of them got out doing a reverse sweep.
Was it England versus Pakistan or England versus India? I can't remember who it was now. But we had, I think Willis was bowling from one end. And was it the Lancashire opener? Was it Allott or something? What was his name? The one that he was...
Paul Allott.
I think he was bowling from the other end, and I was side on, because we were all sort of just left to our own devices to find seats were. I didn't see a ball all get day side on. It was that quick. Oh, it was terrible. And I went to just about 3 p.m. It was a really hot day. Do you remember?
It was. It was and roasting.
About, I had to go for a shit at about 3 o'clock at Old Trafford. Yeah. And the next day, I woke up with the worst rash on my arse, genitals. And Mum had to take me to see Dr. Patterson down at Fairwall Doctors, and they gave me some chamomile lotion, and it all went away. So I think it was a heat rash from the toilet. Mm. But
fuck it, load of rubbish.
Oh dear! 15th minute, Vaughan drives down the middle and gets a great pass to Powell, who's tackled close to the sticks. Vaughan goes to the play of the ball and powers over to score. Sneed adds an easy 2, and it's 12-4. His best game for some time. Yeah.
He's got a good physique, hasn't he? Big, big lad.
Couple of things. Social media, because the Challenge Cup website doesn't put up the stats, but social media said he had 16 carries for 184 metres, 3 offloads, 8 tackle busts, and 1 try.
Wow.
And if you see the replay just after his try, when he's walking away, his face looks... I've never seen someone with such an angry look on his face that he was well pumped for it.
Didn't see me when I went to Dr. Patterson with that rash, Sam.
But he was well up for that. For whatever reason, he spoke about Burgess talking to him and motivating him beforehand. Mm. But whatever Burgess said, he was well up for that, wasn't he?
Where are these players getting their tans from? Because I know they nip off to, you know, Mallorca for a few days when they get... Where on earth are the sunbeds in Warrington? Surely there's no sunbeds anymore.
It's been the hottest April and May for years, since 1950-something. They've all been training with just the shorts on.
Really? I mean, yeah. Burgess looks like he's been in Zakynthos for about 3 weeks. I mean, where are there still sunbeds over there? Are they still using the sunbeds?
I can't think of any around here. There's probably some somewhere, but they're all the spray tans. Maybe that would be the way forward.
Tan? Is it a spray tan?
A slippy spray tan and help you break through a tackle.
Okay.
Let me just make that a note for that.
Make a note of that, Dennis. Make a note of that. 28th minute, Sneed penalty, 14-4. And then on the 39th minute, Wire under pressure, but a foolish break leads to a Sneed drop goal. And we go in at half-time at 15-4. Comfortable, really, wasn't it? Didn't feel at any point they were going to... They weren't playing the best.
No, I think the foolish break a couple of minutes before half-time was important because they were piling the pressure on that last 5 minutes before half-time. Mm. I felt it was important we didn't concede. And actually, we broke away and got an extra point, which seemed to make a big difference.
Well, Foulis was there on hand in the start of the second half as well, because on the 43rd minute, Foulis diving tackle prevents Mbappe from scoring again. Dufty switched off for a second. If you watch the replay, he just gives up, doesn't he? He's in the background. Oh no, Foulis hasn't given up. He's tackled him. I better get back in the line. And I thought, to be fair, he did make a point of that. Was it Tanya Arnold? Sort of, she kind of got it wrong and said he'd saved a try with a certain diving tackle or something, and it wasn't him, but he had got back and sort of held them up. But he did point out he switched off. It was good. I mean, it was great. Then 51st minute, Fitzgibbon leaves the field yet again, a broken man. Mm. Now there was if you saw after the celebrations in the dressing room. All the strapping is in a bin. So they've got, they're banging the drum, they're doing their normal stuff. And then there's a big bin to the side, big plastic bin, and it's just full of tape and, you know, plastic and bandages. And right next to it is Fitzgibbon. And it's hard to tell the two apart if you look at him. I mean, there's no, he must have his own bin now for all his strapping.
I was going to say, I think I did spot his name on the bin. So it's the Fitzgibbon bin.
Again, we've talked about this, about, you know, Curry plays. He's played 2/3 more during his career than Fitzgibbon. And that kind of hits the mark on leaving the field on the 51st minute, Sam, again.
Yeah.
Doesn't see out the game, does he? Doesn't see out the game.
When if on the occasions he stays on the field and plays the full 80 without getting hurt, we are a noticeably stronger team down our left edge. Mm, mm.
He doesn't want to go and live in the Shetland Islands or something after he retires, does he? You imagine the arthritis up there, some damp climate.
Oh, God.
Hey?
He's a tough guy, though, sure. He's got to be a tough guy.
I don't think any rugby player's gone up there.
But no, move to the Shetland Islands.
No, no.
I could see Roland Phillips living in the Shetland Islands, like with a load of just herding, like a shepherd.
Yeah,
you know, he'd be. What other? Who else could go and live in this? Like up there, a few of them could have gone. I tell you what, a lot of them could have gone and live in the Scilly Isles, the way they've played at Warrington in the past 50 years, couldn't they? Yeah.
Do you want to play that drum now? Don't you? Fucking shite.
58th minute, Thulis receives his 174th concussion. It's not fair, is it? He's having a car crash every 3 weeks. You know, if you went to the doctors and you were having a car crash every 3 weeks, the advice would be maybe stop driving. But I just feel there's no duty of care for these young men. I really don't.
Albeit we're talking about Josh Thulis again and his 174th. I think you got the numbers wrong. I think you missed a couple of friendlies out there. Probably 178. But joking aside, I think it was Trout there was running around recklessly for about 10 minutes.
Yep.
And this one in particular, he ended up receiving 5 demerit points or penalty points in front of the judiciary, which is right on the cusp of a ban.
Right.
So I don't understand why he wasn't yellow carded at least.
He didn't he do Dufty as well a bit later? Was that
Trout
as
but
well?
not in the he didn't take him high, but he was reckless. Yeah.
Well, it's funny you should say this because Trout steer with their heads. There's only two fish that steer with their heads, and that's trout and salmon. When swimming, trout make subtle head movements to adjust their direction, essentially using their head as like rudders. This head tilting helps them angle into currents, avoid predators, or stay in holding position while barely moving their fins. So there you go. That's trout for you. So I don't like trout. I took Mrs. London out for a fancy meal on Saturday. I sent you the pictures, and she had trout, and it was the worst restaurant we've ever been to. The waitress was from Mexico, and the owner kept coming over and going, "I'm sorry about that. She's from Mexico." It was just like Manuel.
I was going to say that sounds like exactly the same.
And at the end, I said to the missus, I said, "Put that trout in your top pocket, just hanging out like the kipper when we leave."
Just play, yeah.
At one point, we asked her for drinks. We said, "Could we get some more drinks?" She said, "No, I'm too busy," and walked off. That was. Oh, dear. Yeah, that trout. I mean, how he didn't get sent off. That's utter bollocks. Last year, he's got 12 games for that. The inconsistency.
At least.
I mean, what did Vaughan do last year at Lee when someone ran in? It's not almost, you know, a lot of the times these players are running into shoulders and the players have got nowhere to go. And we've defended the defenders and said, well, they're not invisible. They can't move. But he's just reckless. He just runs in with his flailing head, doesn't he? It's. Not right.
Steering head.
63rd minute, Dufty catches well, and following a mini break, wins a penalty. Wire then retain possession, and on the 66th minute, King scores. Sneed converts from the touchline. It's pretty much game over. 21-8. Okay. And then 69th minute, Lee throw the ball left. Lindop shoots out of the line, creating an overlap for Tessie New to score his second try. Brian finally converts to give Wyatt a nervous last 10 minutes. But the final score is 21-14. I missed a Lee tryout in the 47th minute, but apart from that, boys, it never was in doubt, was it, really?
No, and I think this is why I'm struggling.
Are you breaking the time frame continuum now, Sam? Is that what you're about to do?
Not really.
On the edge, Dennis.
I was going to say, we're happy at this point, Sam. We've just won. We're really happy.
Yeah, but I'm actually going to praise them. Oh. But it's also why I'm struggling to know what to make of the season. Mm-hmm. In isolation, okay, Lee are not Wigan, but in isolation, they're playing well. In isolation, that was a brilliant performance. We were down on troops. During the game, we lost Ashton, we lost Thewlis, we lost Fitzgibbon, and we still won with a little to spare.
Mm.
Excellent performance.
To paraphrase Sam Burgess, he told BBC Radio Merseyside, "I'm proud of the lads. We lost both wingers and Fitzy.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
But we're used to that now, so just crack on. The effort was massive in a hard quality game. Lee had strong moments, but after their early setback, our boys stay composed and got back into the game. In regards to Sneed, he said, he's just had surgery, but told me he wanted to train and play. Having players like that set the standard. And in regards to Vaughan, he led from the front and really drove us early on. We're doing everything we can to keep him." Kind of just sums up what you've just said, Sam, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe I should have waited and said that there.
Have you met at Limdam again? You've been around Limdam. Have you seen him at Limdam recently, Sam? Has he been? No, not recently. He's listened to the pod and he's changed where he's going, hasn't he? That's what's happened.
I think he's probably slipped one of them air tags on my dog. And it's attached somewhere to him. And so he knows where I am and can avoid me. That's probably what it is.
Oh dear. Lee Leopard's head coach Adrian Lamb said, "I'm very frustrated and disappointed. It was just some dumb individual things at times and we couldn't get the flow or find any rhythm in the game. I felt like we were chasing it the whole time. We weren't connected as a group. Defensively, we were poor. And at times, they just fell through us and made Paul Vaughan looked like he was in his prime." Bit mean, isn't it?
Well, I think it was a fair thing because I don't think Lee have played... they've played better than that this season. And I think we just caught them on a good day. And like we've said all along, and I know you've given praise, Sam, we have got that capability, but it's not going to be in a consistent way, is it?
Yes, that's what... We've
been saying that you know they can raise the game for some of these games, the big games and so on, but we can't keep it up week on week with the players that we've got because we're asking too much.
I've got the capability to make a decent souffle, but it's probably about 1 in 6.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about what our scoring ratio, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, on to the Wakefield game away, round 11 of Super League. The team was Dufty, Jake Thewlis, Ty Wrench, Lindop, Ratchford Sneed, Yates, Pal Vaughan, Holroyd, Russell came back in, and Curry. Interchange bench was Philbin, Crowther, Harrison, and Gardner made his debut. The last time Warrington won at Wakefield, Theresa May was Prime Minister, and the UK was still a member of the EU. Oh, I think we all need a coffee to listen to these highlights.
Hood goes short for Fartili, who's going for the line himself as he managed to get the ball down. So far, it's looking pretty good as Johnstone gets it out towards Griffin. Griffin going for the line for Tartini again. He's done it again. Feel like they have another big, big opportunity as Jowick finds Lino. Griffin with a little shot through. Griffin finding the gap. And Griffin will score for Wakefield Trinity. Espresso macchiato. Everyone gets organised once more and they go for the left side this, for the long pass to the left-hand side. And Warrington are in the corner. Warrington are in the corner with Aaron Lindop. Very importante. No
time to talk, excuse me. Here they go again.
And away down the left-hand side. This is well held up by Sneed. And Connor Wrench. Connor Wrench, almost a year after injury, back in the side and back on the score sheet for the Warrington Wolves. Field this one. If it comes to Lino instead, though, it comes through to Corey Hall. Corey Hall has gone over the line. Hood quickly out to Lino. Down the line they go, right over on the far side. Johnstone! Tom Johnstone with a flying finish into the corner. Espresso macchiato. Goes away to his left-hand side. Pitts with a quick ball. They're trying to keep it in here. They have it. Griffin gets a second. Mi mani numeroso. I work around the clock. That's why I'm sweating like a... Smith plays it quickly. Lino, kick into the corner. Everybody chasing after it. Dufty is underneath and he spilled it. He spilled it here. Wakefield could be in once more. And they are...
Final score, Wakefield 40, Warrington 10. There were tries for Lindup and Wrench. Conversion, Sneed kicked one from two. Referee was Liam Rush. Attendance, 6629. Now, I've not got a timeline on this one, boys, but I've got the stats and they tell a story.
Thank
there.
Goodness we've not got a timeline.
Wow. Let's have a look at the stats. Completed sets, Wakefield 30 to Wires 19. Carries, Wakefield 184 to Wires 153. Meters, Wakefield 1176 to Wires 771. Post contact meters, 403 to 298. The one we did beat them on was kick from hand meters. Wakefield did 478. We did 527. I mean, it was just all the way down. Missed tackles, Wakefield 10, Wire 32. Completed rate, Wakefield at 90%, Warrington just at 57%.
Yeah, awful, isn't it?
I mean, and then you look at the stats as well. The one that sort of shot out again for me was Powell, meters, zero, carries one. But we didn't carry the ball from acting out. It says in the stats there was no runs from dummy half. Wakefield made four, we made zero. So I'm not sure where his carry came from. But just all the way through, Sam, looking at those stats, just they didn't turn up, did they, at all? Didn't want to know.
I think Dennis has just mentioned it. I alluded to it. We are inconsistent. I think I'm still of the glasses half full rather than half empty brigade. As you know, you've teased me of being almost a happy clapper. So they are turning up week in, week out with a struggling team, a team of injuries, a team of not fit, we're not fit. However, all that said, we got back into the game just at half time, and we started the second half atrociously. Lindup drops the kickoff, we then concede a penalty, then six again, then six again, and then they score. And so from going in at half time, possibly in back in the game, within 2 minutes and 40 seconds, we've conceded six more points and not touched the ball. Shocking start to the second half.
They look coached well. Who's coaching them these days?
I knew this was going. You know what? I was going to make the point that the last time I was there was when, if you remember, it was when Daryl Powell lost his job. And I asked him, you know, is it a crisis, Daryl? Crisis? What's a crisis? And that was his response. Well, it felt like that. It was a similar scoreline as well, think. It was about 40 points. There's just nothing good to pick from this game. But I do rate what Daryl Powell has done at Wakefield. They look a solid side. They've always performed well, even if they've lost a few matches when I've watched a few of the things this morning. But this year. But I have to say, Mike McMeekin in that middle, he plays such big minutes as well.
Why didn't we buy him?
Every time I say this.
I mean, I think there's been enough water under the bridge to say, you know, we do still keep in touch with Daryl. You know, I get messages from him a little bit, and I did get a bit of a monologue from him after his time at Warrington, and there was an element in there that basically said they just didn't buy in. Warrington didn't buy in, and Wakefield have bought in. Now, whether that just fits his demographic, he's back in Yorkshire, he's talking with I was told from someone, I can't remember who it was, but he referred to the Warrington dressing room at times as the Cheshire set, you know, like they were all a bit, didn't really want to muck in. And he's back now in Yorkshire, bit of brassed off. It's all that Yorkshire grit, and it works. He's got enough in the dressing room that are probably close to the way he's been brought up, and then the rest all slip in. I don't know. What do you think, Sam?
I hope this doesn't just seem to be a stereotypical comment, but it feels like it fits. Do you think there's a bit of Brian Clough in him? Brian Clough, when he was with Derby, mid-table team in Nottingham Forest and mid-load.
Goes to Leeds.
He got them together and brought them up. But the moment he went with the superstars at Leeds, they soon saw him off.
Yeah. And I think there's a bit of that going on here. And I think in reverse, we've now got Samuel Burgess in the dressing room, who they all admire as a player. And they like his tan. And they probably like the names he's got in his phone and all these kind of things. And that they've kind of bought into the bully. I'm not saying he's a bully, but there's that mentality there. But tactically, I think he's been found out.
What way?
In the way that we're sitting ninth in the table.
Yeah.
Mm. The last time we won at Wakefield was 2019. It was in round 7, March the 21st. We won 32-34. Now, we had voted for Brexit, but it was still going on. So don't write in. We were still part of the EU until the following year. All right? So that's why I said that in the intro before. Shall I tell you the team that played that day? Have a listen to this team. Do you want to...
What year again?
It's 2019. Do you want to pick any players that are in the team that went on Sunday, that were in that team then, 6 years ago? Who do you think was in the team still, Sam?
Philbin.
Philbin, yes. Philbin played...
Curry.
Philbin played loose forward.
Oh.
Curry played 11, yeah. He was in.
Ratchford.
Ratchford was fullback.
Dennis,
and there was, there's no more. There's what? Well, he didn't play on Sunday, but he's still with Warrington. The team was Ratchford, Josh Charnley, Toby King, and Ryan Atkins in the centres.
Oh yeah.
Jake Mamo on the other wing. In the halves were Blake Austin and Deck Patton. Oof. Front row was Chris Hill, Daryl Clark, and Mike Cooper, and the back three were Ben Curry, Jack Hughes, and Joe Philbin. Interchange bench was Jason Clark, Lamatazi, Ben Murdoch-Masilla and Danny Walker. I think that's a better team than what we've got now. You've got a more sprightly Ratchford in there. Charlie wasn't as old. King was young. Atkins was still there. I mean, you could question maybe Patton and Austin in the halves weren't performing, but I think that's a solid team.
Are we going to use the excuse that we've got loads of injuries and like he's got a disruption in the side, so you know the players that we're left with can't do it? Are we not going with that?
I don't know. I don't know how you look at those injuries.
I think it's a partial excuse, but only partial. When you're conceding 40 points, if it was a close game and maybe we'd have lost 26-22 or something, you could say, if we had Ashton playing, that would have made a difference. But 40 points to 10's a lot.
You know, I do feel like I should go on a bit of a question and answers thing. I've been listening to Plato's Republic in the car today.
Yes.
And a lot of it is the dialogue of Socrates asking the question and saying like, okay, so you don't think it's because... what you've just explained, Sam. So is it down to, as Rob says, is it tactics or is it that they're just tired? What is it? Why have we lost this game?
I think probably four things. Perhaps a bit of tactics, a bit of tiredness, a bit of injuries, and a little bit of the replacements aren't quite good enough.
Right. So how do you turn that round, though, from like we won last week, we lost four players, or three players in the game with not much of a different team, yet we won quite convincingly. So it can't be down to the players. You see, this is quite good, this listening to Plato's Republic, isn't it? Yeah. So what is it?
Well, in 1978, I had the Panini sticker book, and it wasn't a sticker book back then for the World Cup. You actually had to glue them in. And I swapped about 280 stickers for Socrates to finish off Brazil, if I remember rightly.
I don't think it's the same, Socrates.
You sure that wasn't Spain 82?
I think it's Argentina 78. It could have been Spain 82. I got my Bulldog Bobby towel from Woolworths, and I've still got it. Still got it.
Is that a little wanking towel? Listen, you know, you two are just sort of almost like dancing around this, like, you know, oh, yeah, we've lost 40 points to 10 to Wakefield.
How dare you?
Come up with nothing.
I said when we signed Sam Burgess that things would go tits up, didn't I? And I've put that soundbite away. Trust me, that's playing at the start of the pod when it all goes tits up.
Right.
So, yeah, okay. This is what Samuel Burgess had to say. He told BBC, we definitely looked a bit lethargic and we got beaten physically. We understand our position in the league at the moment. We also know Wembley is coming up. We've got Hull KR on Friday, so it's not going to get any easier for us. We've got to fix things pretty quick. In regards to the injury situation, he said, it does catch up on us at times in such key positions, but we are hanging in there. The guys who have come in have done a pretty decent job, but tonight it felt like it's all caught up with us. I mean, yeah. While I remember, boys, we have had a letter from Melbourne. I might because this letter might fit in with you, Socrates, Dennis, and everything, and the thoughts on where we need to go. It does mention tackle bags, but I'll read it now while we've got it. I thought when it came in from Melbourne, it was from Michelle Cartier, who did write to me in the week. She sent a message to say that she'd watched the game against Lee on double speed. But when you're watching Melbourne every week, you probably do have to watch it on double speed to try and sort of replicate, you know, what she's seeing down there. But anyway, letter came in. Dear What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm originally from Warrington, but I emigrated to Melbourne in 1987 after a severe allergic reaction to a hot dog from the van outside Mr. Smith's and a prolonged exposure to Mike Parsnip articles in the Warrington Guardian. I now work as a scientific researcher at the University of Melbourne, and I must say I regularly chuckle away in the lab listening to your podcast through my safety goggles. It keeps morale high during long sequencing sessions, especially when Dennis starts banging on about tackle bags, a segment I've developed a disturbingly soft spot for.
Oh,
Sam, that's the fan. We found the fan at last. For the past 6 years, I have been developing groundbreaking DNA editing techniques to help northern quolls resist cane-toad toxins. By isolating genetic markers associated with toxin resistance and using CRISPR-based modification, we've managed to give these furry little marsupials a fighting chance. The quoll, a wide-eyed, pointy-nosed, dormant marsupial, and then he's put in brackets, not to be confused with Stefan Ratchford, has all the survival instincts of Dave Woods receiving a phone call from his ex-wife, and has been on the brink of extinction to its habitat of licking anything that moves, including fatally cane tones. By identifying and switching off the quoll's strategically over-curious taste receptors and enhancing its ability to metabolize buffo toxins, we've given the little bugger a real shot at not dying every time it fancies a snack. This got me thinking, could we apply similar genetic modifications to the Warrington Wolves Rugby League team? For instance, perhaps we could enhance Dan Russell's DNA to finally develop some strength in his legs. It's about time he stopped toppling over like a newborn calf every time he gets the ball. We might also consider tweaking Sam Powell's genome to include a run function from acting halfback. Watching him stand there while defences reset is becoming a bit tiresome. We could even tinker with the recruitment department genome to deactivate whatever rogue gene compels them to keep signing duffers. If we can identify the part of the brain that thinks he's played 3 games of NRL, he'll do, we can finally stop the cycle of mediocrity. And while I'm at it, could we engineer CEO Carl Fitzpatrick with a migratory instinct? Maybe then he'd finally fuck off to another club. If we can save the quolls, surely we can save Warrington. Yours scientifically, Dr. Gene Splicer, Department of Unrealistic Expectations, University of Melbourne. So
nice. Nice. Very good. It's funny, you know, we have a very similar tackle bags thing where I wanted to develop players with big hands, but it meant a lot of them having sex with a cousin. So I abandoned that.
Round 11 results and table. Sorry,
Rob,
Sam.
Can I just give a couple of statistics that might answer where we're going wrong?
Yes, yeah. All right.
Well, first of all, just to go on the back of you, the last seven games we've played against Wakefield since Darrell took over at Warrington, played 7, won 1, lost 6.
Wow.
But more to the point, when we compare our team stats against the others in Super League, a couple of weeks I mentioned errors. We're the third most errors. Only Salford and Huddersfield are worse than us.
Oh, dear.
Tackle bust, this was the one that worried me. Breaking tackles, 286. Only Salford have broken fewer tackles than Warrington this year.
Yes.
And total metres, only Salford and Huddersfield have got fewer total metres year to date than us.
Wow.
And yet, defensively, our tackle success rate is 91.3%. Hull KR's is only 90. Mm-hmm. So it would appear we are defending generally well, but we are losing too much possession and defending too much.
And there you are for the intellectual listeners of the podcast. That's where Plato's Republic really comes into its own. Sam has to back up his argument in full style of statistics.
So that's the stats that are saying where we're going wrong.
Yes.
Why are we going wrong with those stats? Why are we making those errors? Why are we not making meters? You've got to go back to the why.
No, yes, I appreciate that. But I'm not the coach. I'm not the coach.
Oh, so you're saying
the coach.
Oh, we found it. We've cracked him.
So Sam's putting Burgess on the list.
Write that down, Dennis. Write that down. It's down to Burgess.
The coaches and the players have to find those answers, don't they?
Right. So it's the coaches and players that you're saying is the problem.
Yeah.
Everyone's
got some responsibility.
Any point carrying on now? Should we?
No, not really. I'll wait till we get to tackle sacks. I'm going to have to fucking put more ink in my pen.
I would like to know, because we had an excellent start reviewing the league game. I'm feeling a bit low now doing the Wakefield game.
Wait till we get
Has
to tackle sacks.
Jonathan Davis joined the pod for the next?
He's not. No, sorry. I keep forgetting, don't I? Jonathan Davis will be on the pod next week. I promise he will be.
Excellent.
He'll be definitely here to read out round 12 results. But as it is, round 11 results were St Helens 40, Catalans 0, Leeds 18, Hull 16, Wigan 36, Lee 28, Hull KR 34, Uddersfield 0, and Castleford 48, Salford 16. It leaves the top six like this. Hull KR on top on 20 points, Wigan in second on 18, Lee in third on 15, Leeds in fourth on 14, Saints in fifth on 12, as to a Wakefield in sixth on 12. The bottom of the table is Salford in 12th, Huddersfield in 11th, Castleford in 10th, Warrington in 9th on 10 points with a points difference of minus 54, Catalans in 8th on 10 and Hull in 7th on 11.
Right. And interesting, Catalan have just parted company with McNamara, haven't they? So. He's the first coach to go, I think, isn't he, this year?
Yeah. I mean, as you sent me a message, he's going to struggle to find the south of France at his next coaching job, isn't he?
He's having
a lovely time down there. I reckon he'll end up in rugby union somewhere. Mm. I don't know. That's a hard gig to come home when you've been living down there for 6 years. Anyway.
Hard read that table, isn't it now? How far are we in the season now? You know, to be that we're actually, you know, gap now. And we're fighting for. I said we're fighting for six this year. I think that's where we're at, isn't it?
I think Wembley could get in the way, in a peculiar way, but we play Hull KR this week. We'll get onto that, but that's going to be really tough. But then we've got Castleford, Leeds, Huddersfield, Hull, Salford, Catalans, Castleford. It's a run of games there that will make or break where we finish, isn't it?
Mm. We put a vote out on Twitter last night. It's had 224 votes. We asked where we thought Warrington would finish. In the top three, not one vote. No one has gone.
Mm.
You'd normally get one random, but 0% for the top three. Top six, 33%. A third are still believing in us. But 7 to 8, or the season being an absolute clusterfuck, is 67%. So two-thirds now don't think we're going to make the playoffs. And I think, as you just said, Sam, like the Wembley could get in the way. Wembley could get in the way. So, just on the Wakefield game, just where I remember, I didn't actually watch it, boys. So I set my alarm for midnight. I went to bed about 10, set my alarm for midnight, woke up, got confused because I turned KO Sports on and I thought they were showing Shaun of the Dead. And then I realised it was just the Warrington Travelling Supporters behind the sticks that they were filming. And then I'm still sort of half awake. And then right at the start, there was that video ref decision, which was blurred.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I just turned it off. I went back to sleep. I didn't bother.
Could we put it out there? Could anybody tell us what TX is? I'd like to go on this. I'd like to go TX on this. Can I go TX, please, on this? What the fuck is TX on the video?
And it never showed anything different. It still showed the same camera.
Who are they talking to now? Because they don't seem to, whatever they say, they never get what they want. Have you noticed? They've just given up. No.
Well, apparently, this was the first game where they've got now another person with the video ref who is going to produce and coordinate which angle they should look for. But he was still asking for different camera angles, this and the other. It's just a load of bollocks.
In the NRL, they check everything, but they just get on with it and they go and take the kick. I have a funny feeling the kick would be taken before they've made their mind up with this lot. Like, it wouldn't quite work if they did that. Maybe that's why they've not gone to it.
While the kicker's been told to wait, imagine the number of hamstrings that'll then go when the kicker eventually takes. Yeah. If we went back to winter rugby.
Well, God.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Wire have a date at Wembley with Hull KR on Saturday the 7th of June after the Robins beat the Dragons. However, Catalans head coach, Steve McNamara, who isn't now the coach, vented his frustration with the match officials following his team's defeat. McNamara questioned how his side could go 80 minutes without receiving a single penalty or reset start, aside from one penalty when Hull KR kicked out on the full. McNamara also highlighted the disparity in penalty counts during Hull KR's home games this season, noting a staggering 42-16 advantage in penalties awarded. That this six again bollocks is really fucking up the game, isn't it? It's about trying to keep your breath, and all of a sudden you've done six defending, and then he puts his hand up and gives another six, and you're fucked. And teams just score. I'd love to know how many teams score on that six again momentum. It just, as I've said to you, Sam, before, I just don't see the difference between 20 tackles, why one is a six again and the other 10 aren't.
Yeah. I think that's it. It's the opinion of the referee, isn't it?
Mm.
And on certain games, they seem to be waving their hands madly on six again. And other weeks, the same thing and nothing.
But that 42-16 advantage, I mean, that takes me back to when Liverpool always used to get penalties in front of the cop. I mean, they've proven above certain attendances, referees tend to sway in favour of the home team. And obviously, it's a very volatile going to Hull KR. And the ref doesn't want to come out to find eggs and spunk all over his windscreen, does he?
That's... Is that what you found in your car after dropping that lady off? Oh, no, we're not mentioning that. Sorry.
Dennis has really ruined the timeline. I was going to edit that out at the start, and he just keeps mentioning it. Now I'm screwed.
Oh,
Absolutely
yeah.
screwed. Going to have to beep all that now. I won't beep Dennis. Then was going to be like, what did he say? Oh, no one will ever know.
So. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Who is the least penalised team in Super League then?
Are you going to... You've got the stats there, have you, Sam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, they must be there. Least penalised team. Hulk are.
Nope.
Huddersfield.
They're fourth. Least penalised team, Leeds. Warrington Wolves.
Least penalised?
Least penalised team.
Is Warrington Wolves.
We're the cleanest team. Maybe that's where we're going wrong. Maybe we're not slowing him down with enough penalties.
That's it. Maybe that's it. Getting off too quickly. Dennis has now got his head in his hands.
Sorry, when you said getting off too quickly, I thought I was going to mess the timeline up again.
I can't do this pod with the background. I've got the background of the bedroom, which I'm recording in. Sam's in his dining room, I think, or wherever he is. But for some reason, Sam's put a picture up of Dan Russell Dennis. Behind him. Dennis has put a picture of Dan. Who's the bloke on the right? Who is that?
It's Beaker from the Muppets.
They basically look the same, don't they? They're identical twins.
Sam Powell has confirmed he will be staying with the Wolves in 2026, and the veteran hooker looks set to be reunited with at the Halliwell Jones prop, Wigan prop, Liam Byrne. Meanwhile, rumours linking another Liam to the club have emerged, with ex-Sydney Rabbitohs forward Liam Knight, currently playing for Hull, perhaps moving to Warrington. Burgess admitted he knows the player well, but stopped short of confirming the move. Wyre's current seven overseas quota spots are filled by Paul Vaughan, Zane Musgrove, Matt Duffy, Luke Yates, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Roderick Tighe, and Dan Russell. I mean, I think there's three there that I'd like to see be replaced. Musgrove is clearly... Has he fallen out with Vaughan again? What's happened to Musgrove?
Looks like it.
Well, you'd have thought when we're down on troops, he would have been perfect to be playing at Wakefield, but
right. So
maybe he spat his dummy being left as 18th man in the semi-final, I don't know.
So that relationship's pretty much come to an end. So I think he needs been Musgrove needs to be replaced. He just hasn't proven his worth as a quota spot. Lachlan Fitzgibbon, as much as he tries and as brave as he is, he just can't continue, can he? He's held together with sticky tape. And Dan Russell, again, was falling off tackles left, right and centre at Wakefield. I think he was taken off at one point.
He doesn't get a good rap, but, I mean, you know, he's a good tackler, isn't he? You know,
no,
he does a lot of tackles.
He keeps falling off tackles.
Made a break this year? I think he's made a break this year. He's bust a tackle,
I mean, Luke Yates is questionable, looking again at his metres at Wakefield, but he's been played in the wrong position. He's been asked to play prop all the time. He's not big enough.
So, is that a Burgess tactical error that you're
referring to? Yeah, of course it is.
Well, you'll be happy to know that also in the news today that Burgess is being linked to Perth Bears as being a front runner now. So how do you feel about that news?
I mentioned it on a Zoom call the other day to a group of Aussies because they were asking how Warrington were doing, and I sort of summed up the season. And then I mentioned him going to the Perth Bears and they all burst out laughing.
Right. Okay.
Do you think, genuinely, though, I would be amazed. I'd be amazed if he was announced as head coach.
Well,
but do you think he could be part of the coaching setup?
There's some things that when after mentioning this and they all burst out laughing, they then said, one of them who knows a lot about the NRL here, and I don't watch any of it, and he was mainly talking about what halfback's going to Manly next year, etc. But there's some shock jock on the radio or something here, you know, some soapbox shock jock who the whole narrative for Perth is to try and ruffle feathers. It hasn't caught on because the AFL is just so prominent over there. They're at the Australian rules. So the Western Reds came along and they went, et cetera. So they've decided that this time round it's going to all be a little bit shocking and it's all going to be a little bit sensationalised and, you know, a bit Trump-esque. It's all going to be...
Personality driven.
Yeah, and maybe get a few players over there that haven't got the best reputations and it's all going to be just to try and get basically headlines on Perth papers. because if you just go over there with a competent, efficient team, they're not going to watch it. So they're going to have to sort of shock jock a little bit. So apparently he does fit the narrative. Watch this space. Mm. It's about advertising and putting bums on seats and everything else. So who knows? Matty Ashton's season has been brought to an abrupt end with him adding his name to the long-term casualty ward at Warrington. He reports to Matron with an ACL and MCL injury, ruling him out until 2026. And it's not just the injury curse affecting current Wire players, with ex-Wire star Matty Nicholson fracturing his fibula whilst playing for the Canberra Raiders. Nicholson has undergone surgery and will be missing from the ACT side for 12 weeks. It's a shame about Nicholson, first of all. He was playing well. He was settling in.
Yeah.
He was settling in. Blowing in the warm games, couldn't quite cope with the warm weather. And they mentioned that. Canberra Raiders said he has struggled in the warmth and adapting. But now it's cooled off. He's been playing really well. And real shame about Ashton.
I think two big things about Ashton. Number one is our loss as Warrington. Mm. I mean, he is a star for us and getting better each season. But also England versus Australia at the end of the year, he would have been almost certain to be playing left wing for England against Australia. Mm. I think that's a huge...
The encouraging thing is the fact that Conor Wrench made his comeback, didn't he? And, you know, he's had a similar injury, I suppose, and seemed to look all right. He had a bit of speed about him, this, that and the other. So maybe, you know, when we think about these types of ACL injuries and stuff, and it was at one time career ending. I think now the way, I suppose, technology and advanced processes and stuff in surgery, you know, he come back as without the, you know, feeling the long-term effects of stuff like this. So hopefully he'll be back to his best next year.
Is Wrench a possibility for the wing, Sam? I mean, we've got to find two proven wingers, haven't we? If we fit King and Ty in the centres, who are your two wingers? I mean,
presumably, I mean, I think first choice will be Thewlis, Josh.
Yeah, yeah.
And Aaron Lindop.
You think they're
your first? Right. They're your first choice, aren't you? But as Dennis says, if either of them were, in fact, if any of those four were out, the fact that Conor Wrench is now fit, I'm not convinced by, I haven't been convinced by Conor Wrench's defence, but without a doubt he's got speed and a bit of, he's an elusive runner. So if he had to cover for a game or two, that's all good.
Dominic Young, out of sorts at Roosters.
Oh, yes.
They want to get rid of him.
Ooh. Actually, now there's a thought. I wonder if we could, I wonder if there's a loophole we could deregister Ashton for 6 months.
Oh, sorry. Off
the salary cap. Well, that's an interesting one. Because he's fallen out big time, hasn't he? It seems to be attitude.
Yeah, I was chatting to a lad in the kiddies playground the other day. He's picking up his son, and he's got family members on the coaching staff at Canberra. But he's a massive Roosters fan. And I said, oh, you know, what about Dom Young? And he said, yeah, the talk is and it's terrible. I mean, I don't know how you can sort of put this into perspective, but the talk is that he's kind of scared a bit. He doesn't quite want to know. Bit of fire-esque. Runs across field.
What does the guy in the warehouse say? Because he's usually your go-to
I haven't seen him since the incident he had a few weeks ago with he's on a stalking charge. Let's not talk about that.
Oh, the man.
Twelve-week court case. Let's not talk about that. Right. Okay. Hull KR and Leeds Rhinos are to meet at Las Vegas next year for the second Super League game to be held in the United States, following this year's Wigan versus Warrington clash. The fixture will take place on the 28th of Feb. Other teams participating will be NRL sides, the Canterbury Bulldogs, Newcastle Knights, North Queensland Cowboys and St George Illawarra Dragons. Regarding Hull KR, a spokesman from Humberside County Council said, "We will guide our fans through the complexities of obtaining a passport." Most of them think duty free is a bloke who's just finished his prison sentence.
Very good. Yeah.
With Wire now preparing for another trip to London for a second straight Challenge Cup final, here's my tip to Sam Burgess and the team to make sure this one turns out to be a piece of art befitting of the Tate Modern and not some ugly street graffiti like last year. 1. Play the game, not the occasion. Last year, Wire were overawed by the big day and panicked too much in their playing style. Applying a little bit of composure and patience in these games is never a bad thing. You can't win it in the first 20 minutes, but you can certainly lose it. 2. Clean up the discipline. Mike Cooper was sent to the sin bin for Wigan in the first minute last year, presenting Wire with a golden advantage early on. However, this was neutralised minutes later when Matt Duffy was himself awarded a yellow card. Discipline is key. 3. Limit the big threats. Allowing Bevan French to run the show was crucial to the 2024 loss. Anyone could have predicted that he'd be the key man to stop. Burgess must come up with a plan to deal with the likes of Mikey Lewis, Oliver Gildart and Archie Morgue over the next few weeks to nullify their threat as much as possible. 4. Use your experience. Snead, Walker, Ratchford, Curry, Philbin, King, Powell, Williams have all won the Challenge Cup before. These guys will be crucial for providing advice and guidance on how to handle the big occasion. It's an area that Wire definitely have an advantage over Hull KR, so let's see some evidence of it. So, off we go. Let's paint a picture. Let's paint a beautiful picture.
Well, Daniel painting a beautiful picture there that encapsulates play the game and not the occasion, clean up the discipline, limit the big threats, and use our experience. I mean, it's all there on the canvas, isn't it, boys? I mean, I think he's framed that perfectly.
He's framed that perfectly. He could be a BBC pundit with that.
Come on, who's the big threat, Hulk? Yeah, because we could play him again before then, haven't we?
When their pack gets on the front foot, then the little git Mikey Lewis buzzes around, doesn't he? So
Mrs. Waywell came out with something about that.
Oh, hang on, we got Mrs. Waywell quote, yes.
Yeah, we were watching it. It was on the other day, and I said, oh, this little fella started a bit of a pushy. She went, oh, I've seen him before. He's a right little wanker, isn't he? I thought, oh, that's a bit strong, isn't it, Mrs. Waywell? Jesus, I had to turn it off.
I'd love him to come to the NRL because he'd get absolutely battered. He's nowhere near as good as he thinks he is. He'd really, you know, he's great in broken play and he moves around, but put him in a bit of structure against an NRL defensive line and it'll take him to bits. And then he'll lose his temper and it'd be another Tomkins when Tomkins went to Auckland. Just doesn't work. Doesn't work.
The other thing Daniel mentions as well, use our experience. There was more players there than I thought for a start, but just looking at him, he said Snead, Walker, Ratchford, Curry, King, Powell, Williams. They were the experience there. I think Ratchford is worth a mention, isn't it? Well, I'll mention it in tackle sags, I think. I think... Yeah, will he get a game, do you think, or will we bring in Ollie Leyland for the final?
I wouldn't have thought he would suddenly bring Leyland in for the final. I think the issue is whether he ends up risking George Williams if he's only just fit. That would be the big concern.
What medium do you think that Daniel's painted this picture in? What are we thinking? Watercolour and it's all a bit wishy-washy? Or what are we thinking? I'm not quite sure.
Well, I think it's a splash of acrylic because it all feels a bit sort of synthetic and false. It doesn't feel right. You know, it's not like an oil where you can sort of like blend it and create shape and structure.
He did mention about the Tate Modern and, you know, and graffiti, and pretty much half the Tate Modern is graffiti now. Because that's where Banksy does all his stuff. I would like to see a coach come in that paints a picture in charcoal. My son's been using charcoal last week. Really bold, like a Turner, like really that sort of strong. I think that's what we need. At the moment, I think this is all a bit Hockney. It's just gay men in swimming pools. That's what I'm seeing.
Oh, pollocks.
Oh, Samuel, you're more prickly than a porcupine. You really must contain yourself when you've been asked these questions at the post-match press conferences. I mean, it's hardly Frost and Nixon now, is it? It's only Phil Kaplan and Mike Parsnips putting the rusty old dictaphones in your face. Have you considered meditation, Samuel?
Maybe, Ralphie. We did try that on young Dan Russell. It calmed him down.
Yes, he's been in a dormant hypnotic state since stepping off the plane at Ringway. Now look, Samuel, this storm will pass. Yes, I know the recruitment's been awful. Pitzpatrick has left you sailing up Shit Creek without a paddle. You're an apprentice, and just think of it, it's excellent practice for your NRL coaching career.
Talking of which, I haven't had any calls from Australia, have I?
No, Samuel. Based on your current form, the only job you'll be offered down under is working as a bouncer at Lassiter's on Neighbours.
If I'm not mistaken, Ralphie, the bouncer was Mrs. Mangle's dog. You're clearly getting your wires crossed with that over-friendly Antipodean cul-de-sac.
Oh, well, that's no way to talk about Gina Brooks's lady bitch.
Anyway, never mind soap stars, Ralpho. I just wish we could get back on track with this album.
Oh, that's it. If I'm not mistaken, back in the day, I met Kylie Minogue. at the Stone Spitter launch. Pass me my file of facts. Now, let me see. Bernard Manning, no. Morrissey, Roger Moore, no. Johnny Morris. No. Here it is. Yes, Kylie Minogue. Hello? Is that Kylie? Oh, yes, it's Ralph. Ralfred Rimmer. we met at the Stones Bitter RFL launch in 1988. Yes, you remember? Oh, yes, that's me. Yes, although I do a bit less of the pole dancing now. Oh, yes, yes. I still have the final shots. No, not the gimp mask.
Quick, 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 Ralpho. Quick, ask her if she'll sing on the album.
Who was that? Oh, that was Samuel. Mr. Samuel Burgess. Hello? Hello, Kylie? Are you still there? Oh, tackle sacks. Oh, she's clearly not a fan of yours, Samuel. I dare one say, you definitely divide a room. All of a bit of Marmite, really. Or in Miss Minogue's case, Vegemite.
Oh, you should have offered her a Benny Westwood sausage baguette, Ralphie.
I think she's more of a kebab lady, if I'm honest, Samuel.
Really?
Oh, yes. She gets them from Jason's Donovan. Oh, I really shouldn't have told that joke.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Best ever, eh, Sam? Best ever, eh? Celebrity
underneath
guest,
a little
eh?
Bit of I Should Be So Lucky popping along. Oh, I have to say, I was getting worried. I was getting so, so worried where this was going. I was, and
you
then
should be so lucky.
Yeah. And then, actually, I think I was probably the only one who was relieved that you dug out the old Jason's Donovan at the end.
Were you Kylie or Danny, Sam?
Oh, Danny.
Danny. Oh, Dennis, Kylie or...
Danny.
Danny as well. Oh, yeah, interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Rob?
Both, separately and then together.
Jesus. Just after dropping them off outside their house.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Tackle sacks, go.
Shouldn't have said that. Welcome. It's Tackle Sags. This week's theme on Tackle... No, hold on. I'm doing Tackle Sags first. I've got a Tackle Bags
God. To follow.
Oh, right.
God.
Let's just go through some points first for the Tackle Bags table. Tackle Sags table, even. Pitzpatrick leads at 36, Curry 19, Philbin 14, Powell 9, Leyland 8, and so on. I thought we would give them all an exemption for the Challenge Cup win, and we'll just rate them on the Wakefield win. Wakefield loss. Jesus. I've gone for Powell. He's having 9 points for the zero that was thingy. So he's gone for the full fucking flap, which is a tackle sag score between 7 and 9. He gets 9. Philbin, yeah, we've still not noticed. You're not really playing well. He gets 3 points, as always. And Ratchford gets 6 because he just had a mid-match shit show. I don't know what was going on with his, really. Rob, have you got any points that you'd like to dish out?
Is Samuel Burgess off probation
he's on
now?
He's on.
Yes. Oh, well, let's give him 5 points. He needs 5. Okay. We need to get him to, you know, think that's a solid 5. Who else? I mean, it wasn't very good. I'm going to give Dan Russell a point. He fell off a few tackles.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Can I give the video ref points?
Actually, we've not had that. We'll give the video ref, but we'll have to have the particular ref video referee, whoever that is.
Well, I turned it off. I don't know. I don't know who it was.
Okay. All right. I'll just do video ref then. How many points? For
well, I think, I mean, it's up there with you. Was it a flap show you said? Is it that top 7 to 9?
Yeah, we'll
go for 8.
Oh, no, you could have absolute dog shit. That's between 10 and 13.
Oh, we'll go 12 then. 12 points to the video ref. That's me done. Ref. Thank you.
Okay. Sam, have you got anything you want to add?
I think you've already scored Ratchford. When he dropped the ball in an attacking position about halfway through the second half, that was when I knew all hope was lost.
Oh, dear.
And how did you feel at that point on a scale of 1 to 10?
What, in terms of positivity?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 2.
2. All right, we'll give him 2 points then for Ratchford. That's how you're feeling. Right, okay. Much to popular demand on Tackle Bags this week, this week's theme, as chosen by Rusty Bullethole on Facebook, is the Rugby League Escape Room, you'll be glad to know. So, yeah. So, big thanks to Rusty Bullethole. You'll be receiving a Tackle Bags T-shirt design, with this week's design being Tackle Sags, Empty Bags. So, that'll be on its way to you in the post. Congratulations. And you'll probably get it for Christmas. Anyway, so the escape room dilemma, or turd for short, in order of importance, we need to just think about what we're doing here. In order to improve the spectator experience, I've come up with a new concept for rugby league that brings entertainment and suspense for the spectators
for the
and TV audience. Yeah, I know, slipped up there. For one round only on each, across the season, each team will be able to play a joker to lock up a member of the opposing team's players. What's up? What are you saying there, Rob?
This was my idea. I sent you this.
No.
And I'm going to go back through the WhatsApp. I'm going to scroll for fuck here and find that.
So you could play a joker to lock up one of the opposing players for up to 20 minutes in a game. The nominated player will leave the park and enter the Wat Bevin escape room, where they could spend the next 20 minutes out of the match once it's underway. Effectively, a team playing a joker will reduce the opposition to 12 men for the duration in the escape room.
Yeah.
Once inside the room, a player must solve a series of puzzles in order to free themselves and return to the match. The quicker they solve, the quicker they get back on the field. And if they fail to solve the puzzles in that 20-minute period, then they will automatically be able to join the fray. So if basically, it's a bit like Crystal Maze.
This
is where we go.
Imminent limit.
Puzzles will draw on categories like mental, physical, skill and mystery. It is basically a crystal maze in the back of a truck that will park out in the lot there. Their progress,
is it the same truck as the video referee?
It could be. We could utilise that space. I will be looking for sponsorship from the video refs from the RFL. Their progress will be streamed live on the corner of the big screen, or using the TV red button on your TV, you can watch it in the bottom corner of your screen and see how they get on. It's hoped that this initiative will both entertain and educate the players of rugby league, because they've got to solve puzzles, so go have a bit of knowledge. Might help them getting a job after rugby league, when they can sort of see how well they do. Whilst adding a degree of jeopardy, and provides maybe an alternative to referees' red card in the future.
Oh.
So actually, rather than giving someone a red card, we could give them an escape room card, which, you know, for those sort of I could tell you I'm losing my audience here.
Will they have to flail for like golden tickets at the end? It was all about time on Crystal Maze, wasn't
it?
I didn't
mention that one. Let me just make a note of that. I might do escape rooms too. But anyway, if you think this is a good idea, then just let me know and I'll write and send a letter from Wat Bevin, and then I'll forward it to Nigel Wood at the ARFL, making sure it's delivered in edible paper in a Pizza Hut box stuffed with a fat crust. of 50 inches. That should just about get his attention.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict, starting with the Challenge Cup final dress rehearsal when Wyatt take on league leaders Hull KR this Friday night at the HJ, kickoff 8 p.m. Then Warrington under-11s will travel over the Pennines to play Castleford. The game comes 8 days before Warrington's big day out at Wembley. Before we gamble away more money, here's Hal with a monologue on officiating.
Ah yes, the Challenge Cup final. Rugby league's grandest stage. Where heroes are made, silverware is lifted, and officiating standards leave us with our head in our hands. With the referee's usual blend of wild gesturing, random whistle blowing, and interpretative decisions based loosely on events he believes may or may not have occurred. Expect forward passes to be ignored with all the grace of a politician dodging a question. Knock-ons missed despite occurring within 3 feet of his nose. Play of the balls messier than a Jackson Pollock canvas. And mitigation interpreted using this morning's horoscope he's pulled from his asshole. And then there's the video ref. Sitting in his uninsured air-conditioned van, knowing full well even his mother doesn't love him, surrounded by more screens than your average Yorkshire betting shop, and still destined to reach conclusions so baffling they could be used as a GCSE philosophy exam question. With frame-by-frame replays, a slow no and pause button, he will still somehow declare a double movement as momentum, and chalk off a legitimate try because a pigeon flew overhead during the grounding having a shit. So buckle up. The rugby might be thrilling, the fans passionate, and the stakes enormous, but rest assured, the officials will deliver their traditional Wembley masterclass in confusion, incompetence, and blind optimism. And just to complete the experience, the video referee will take so long making a decision, by zooming, rewinding, zooming, rewinding, squinting, and consulting the BBC producer for a 178th angle, that most of us will have switched over to the other channel and watched half an episode of the Antiques Roadshow, before coming back to find he's still reviewing the sodding try.
It's gone quite political this year, Hal, hasn't he? The way he's but I mean, he was on point there. I have to agree with a lot of what he said.
So. He did go on a bit, didn't he?
He did, didn't he?
Go on a bit.
I didn't get the point bit about the insurance, no insurance.
I thought it was a bit random, but, you know, obviously very insightful, logged into the system.
Oh, dear. Right, on to the betting. Now, Sam didn't bet. I mean, we didn't officially have a bet, but then all of a sudden
I did wonder why he didn't bet. Why did you not bet, Sam?
I want a steward's inquiry here because I can send over screenshots of the game I do each week on Super Brew, it's called, and I had Wakefield by 12.
He's outside the domain of the betting regulations, Dennis. Don't listen to him.
It wasn't on the WhatsApp time.
I mean, I don't think it was worth betting on, really. I was a bit sort of on the fence with this one.
It definitely was worth betting on.
Because you won £18.75, but you lost £5. So, yeah, you went from £78.48 balance to £92.23. So Dennis had a win.
How much have I lost on Dan Russell this year?
You've lost a shitload. Yeah. Okay. If you stopped betting on Dan Russell, you'd probably be a millionaire. I won 6p. I had 25p on Wakefield win, but then lost 25p on Roderick Tye. So I'm at 142.17. And Sam didn't bet, so he's still holding on at £95.30. Right, okay. So we're having two bets, boys? I guess we'll have two bets. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll start. I've not got the odds yet, but we'll start with We'll start with Hull KR. We'll let Sam go first, seeing he's been sitting on the fence with his bet in. What are we going for the Hull KR game, Sam?
Unfortunately, I've got to go Hull KR to win. So
right,
I'll go £30 Hull KR.
Oh, 30 quid, right, okay. And first try has to be the first try of the game, not the first Warrington try, the first try of the game.
Yeah, but we have to pick a Warrington
play. You have to pick a Warrington. So you don't need to bet if you don't want to. If you want to just hold your money there.
No, we'll go a pound.
A pound, yeah.
Ooh,
on Ben so. Curry.
On Curry. Oh, God love you. God love you. Keeping it in the family there. All right. Dennis, do you want to go?
Hull KR.
Yeah.
£20.
£20. Okay.
And Luke Yates, a pound.
He'll be about 40 to 1, Luke Yates. Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, I've got a bit of a lead here, boys, haven't I? And I mean, I don't see us really progressing much in this game. How far ahead am I? I'm a good 50 quid ahead. Right. I will go £50 on Hull KR. And I'll have 25 pence on Roderick Tye. Here we go.
Ooh.
Right, should we go in reverse then for the Castleford game?
Yeah.
I'll go first. Now, are we going to put out the under-11s for this, Sam? What team is going to Castleford?
We're at home, for a start.
We're at home, are we?
Yeah.
I've said we're travelling across the Pennines, so I've gone on a trip for no reason whatsoever, have I? We're at home.
Mm.
Right, well, that makes a difference. Okay. We are going to rest players, though, right?
I don't think so.
You don't think we will?
I think we might rest someone who would be slightly injured. For example, he's clearly trying to manage Toby King, right. So we might rest that type of thing. But I think we've got to play a reasonable team because of where we are in the league.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll go 25 pence on a Wire win, and I'll go 25 pence on a Roderick Tye try. Dennis?
I'm going to go a pound on Castleford win.
Right.
And £5 Dan Russell, because I think he would have been rested for the whole KR game. He'll be back.
So you're in a pound Wire, and you're going, how much Dan Russell?
£5.
I'm just writing all this down, you see. So, right, okay. All right. And last one, Sam, on you.
I'm going £10 Warrington.
Ooh, bold.
I'm going a pound Aaron Lindop.
Lindop, right, okay. Right, well, I think that's it, boys. We'll be back in a few weeks. So as we head towards the British summer and with all this nice weather around, it's a high pressure so long from Sam.
All the best.
A warm front. See you soon from Dennis.
Bessinho.
And a hot and humid goodbye from me. I believe the weather's going to last. Absolute bollocks. You've been listening to What Did Brian Bevan Say? Do you remember that girl from Crofton?
Yeah, I do. She never looked the same after.
Practicing guitar, YouTube tutorials. So far, and she prayed to God in school for a perfect friend. He looked just like you. Wonder where you went. I keep on running, planning, running, planning. Oh yeah, I keep on running, planning, running, planning. Oh yeah, I keep on.
Bevan never passed the ball, he scored. Bevan takes them on and he would sidestep inside.
He'd started to go outside and sidestep inside, and he was so far off them, they never got near him. They wouldn't have got him in tuck and pass.